Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 563 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm your host, as always, I'm Tyler, and join me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
Tell you what, it's been exhausting after this past week, but at the same time, I'm glad I got a three-day weekend coming up. I don't have to go into work on Tuesday, so it's like I'm just going to celebrate the 4th of July by maybe getting some stuff done around the house and probably playing some sort of a game. Because I'll tell you what, man, this past week I've played maybe some of video games, but I haven't played a lot of the stuff that I do have. But other than that, though, it's just one of those weeks and stuff to where it got physically draining, like at the last portion of it. But other than that, man, how you doing?
About the same, my dude. People listen for the last few weeks. It's talking about my family's bulldog, 5-year-old bulldog Gunner, found out a few weeks ago he had cancer, and just took a turn for the worse last weekend, and unfortunately we had to put him down on Sunday. So pretty exhausting week, it was just mentally, emotionally, physically, tough week at work, very long hours. It's like humidity is like in the 90% here too, so it's been hot as fuck. So it's just all around pretty awful. We're all devastated by losing Gunny, especially so young, but just happy he is no longer in pain. A lot of crying this week, a lot of screaming, cussing, all that fun jazz. But we did today. We're able to get a bulldog, English bulldog online, and got him from my dad. Name is Michael. He's 1 year old. And was it 1 year old or 1 year old? 1 year old, I guess it makes sense.
1 year old.
But he is a sweetheart. He's beautiful. Little fucking ball of energy. But he's a super nice dog. Hopefully he likes Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and The Goonies, because I will be making a lot of Mikey and Michelangelo references for the rest of his fucking life. So I told my parents too. I'm like, you better learn some goddamn shit, because I'm going to make some jokes and I don't want to be the only one laughing at him. And I'm going to say him 100 times. I don't care if everybody's sick of him. I don't care if I'm the only one laughing at him. I don't care if I'm sick of him. I'm going to keep fucking saying them because they're going to have to. It's my job. Other than that, I'm doing okay, man. It's clanging and banging as always, about the same. Didn't get a lot of time this week to play some games, even though I called in Monday just to take a day, after losing Gunner and all that. And I was like, still didn't get a lot of time in. And, today we got Michael. So I've had really no free time this week and just trying to squeeze in as much as I can. Doing okay. Clanging and banging as always. But anyways, let's get past all that shit. Let's get to the good stuff. The reason why we're here. That's video games. And if you like this, like all that, you like what we're doing, you've been listening for a while, and you're not subscribed, or you're not following the show, or anything like that, you haven't reviewed yet, what are we doing here, guys? Come on. Smarten the fuck up, Like Gables always says. Quit being a fucking asshole. Subscribe, That's what Gables calls his fans. He calls them assholes. You're our assholes. And be an asshole. Subscribe. Anyways, bringing a weird energy. I got a new beer today as well. It's a Swarm, Golden Ale. It's a Hawkeye beer. Iowa Hawkeyes.
That's adequately appropriate because that whole swarm mentality.
Yeah. Gables is gonna swarm all the fuck over you if you don't start being an asshole and subscribe. Do all that. Look down in the description down below. You see links to all of our socials, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you just search in any wherever you listen to podcasts at, you'll most likely find us. Drunk Nerds, Drunk Dash Nerds, whatever. You'll find us there. Same with Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, all that stuff. So please, like I said, do all that. Like us, thumbs us up, share with your friends, 5 stars, leave a comment, all that stuff. Unless they're negative, just then fuck off. Then you're no longer being an asshole. Now you're just being a dick. But sometimes dick fucks assholes. That's a Team America.
Yeah, that mentality is definitely popping up again.
That's a Team America World Police reference for people. If you want to go back to 2005 there. I don't know what the fuck's happening anymore, Gables. This is a podcast where every week Gables and I get together and talk about video games and all the news and stuff that's going on in the world. So in video games. So let's just jump into it, Gables. Kind of a weird week. Not like a lot of major stuff going on. You know, it's like we're kind of in that weird post-Summer Game Fest realm. You don't have any, like, you know, it's kind of like that weird, like, we kind of get in that, like, little glut a little bit in the, you know, in the summer sometimes, especially in, like, the rest of June, where typically not a lot of games are happening, or news, but luckily there's been a lot of games happening, and the news is a little lighter, but, it's kind of interesting stuff has happened this week, so we're just gonna jump into it, Gables. Perfect Dark, apparently is still years away. So people don't know, Perfect Dark, the Initiative, was a studio that Xbox or Microsoft started in 2018. And like they was started by a couple like top people that like left Crystal Dynamics to help start this. And at one point a few years ago, they said that they're like making a quadruple A game, which has been kind of a running joke. Like, what the fuck does that mean? But also, like, you take, you know, this is, like, head people, and this is, like, they have the backing of Microsoft. So it's like, well, if anybody can afford to do it, it's Microsoft. So, okay, I'm like, you got to take it somewhat seriously. Even though it's, I mean, AAA is like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, I still to this day, what the fuck, why is it called, what do we call AAA? Like, AAA is minor leagues in baseball. Like, what? I don't understand it. Anyways, so according to developers working at the Initiative, all this came out, Red Valentine from IGN, who's done a lot of great work from like GameIndustry.biz, and she's the one that like broke the news about E3, you know, canceling the physical E3 this year. She broke that news and then also broke the news about, you know, all the Sega, all them backing out, and then also broke the news that like that they're canceling the event entirely. Also, she broke the news this week that Gables, you know, remember, so I don't know if you remember this, E3 2021, the one they did like that was all digital. Yes. You know how much money they spent building that app?
No.
First off, Gables, did you remember that E3 had an app?
No.
Okay. They spent $1.5 million building an app.
Oh, that was really a good use of money, considering that not, I didn't even fucking know about it, and that's a concern, because if certain gamers that are not even like in the know a lot of this stuff, how the fuck are they supposed to know there's an app?
Well, like, I remember the app, them talking about it, and like a lot of jokes about like when they mentioned the app, but I don't remember, I never really looked into like what it actually did, and like you build, like you can actually make like an avatar. I still don't, like, I think it was like you could do like virtual tour stuff in there, but anyways, right. They spent $1.5 million on that and they lost like over $6 million on the, it was like a gigantic flop for them. Anyways, back to Perfect Dark. So according to one developer that works at the Initiative, we have, when they revealed this game at the Game Awards in 2020, this is what a developer said. We hadn't even figured out any of our core game mechanics. We didn't even really know what type of game we were making. Yeah. So it gets crazy. Like, this is a gigantic article. I recommend you go read it all, 'cause there's a lot of like interesting tidbits that came out of this. I just like took like some interesting, I thought, like, stories and like little things that we learned from this, but, like it's a, like I said, it's a very long, but fantastic article. Check it out, please. The project has seen roadblock after, this is all from, Red Valentine here. The project has seen roadblock after roadblock with problems such as a fraught co-development partnership, a pandemic, technological challenges, an ongoing exodus of significant talent, and unclear direction for management, keeping the game in development limbo. And while a new partnership with Crystal Dynamics appears to finally be bearing fruit, multiple sources who have worked on the game recently say that Perfect Dark is still in the earliest stages of development, estimating the game is still roughly 2 or 3 years away from ready from release. This game was announced nearly 3 years ago. Been in development for about 4 years.
That's bad, because if there's still that conceptual element of this game, they don't even know a direction for their story, for their gameplay, for their source, just for basically any type of cohesion and stuff, What the fuck have they been doing with the past 3 years?
Well, we're gonna get into it, Gables, because it gets interesting. It gets very interesting from here. So, like I said, this was initiative was started in 2018, and they actually like kind of gave like Microsoft gave like carte blanche to like just kind of do what they want, and they picked Perfect Dark to be their first game. Originally,
Oh.
Certain Affinity was signed on to do the project. So, Certain Affinity people don't know, they're more of like a support studio. They've like they help. Kind of like they're like, like they kind of do a lot of the other stuff. Like they kind of like, here's what we need you to do that kind of stuff. And like, they're kind of like, just tell us what we need to do. We'll do it. They're not very much like they're not gonna go in and like build the game. They're not gonna go in and like come with like build the story, build the whole other thing. Like there's like, you give us the tools. We'll like, it's like, I need you to build this shelf that we just bought from Walmart. Put it together for me, please. That's what they are. Not to be this, like, this example I could think of with my small brain.
So they're kind of like technician
Yeah,
studio or
like
something like
like
that.
they will follow the instructions kind of thing. I don't mean that as an insult. That's just kind of the best example I can think of off the top of my head. But basically, Certain Affinity was like brought on to be the support studio and was like, even though this was supposed to be a quadruple A game, they only had like at most like 70, 80 people on staff at
Okay.
the initiative, which you look at like most big triple A games. What's the one last A? People keep track here, have like hundreds, if not 1,000 or so, working on these top end games, and they had 80 at like their peak. So that's from the initiative. So then like Certain Affinity was basically like running the game, and it was just kind of like, this is not what we signed on for, and this is not what we're experts at. Like Certain Affinity has helped work on like Call of Duty and Halo and stuff like that. Like that's what they, then like I said, their support studio. But it said as it moved into the second and third year of development with Certain Affinity, sources tell us that this progress began to drag on much longer than expected, as leadership's refusal to commit to any specific ideas or shape for the game began to frustrate both teams. I would imagine after 3 years of nobody from up top knows what they want to do or know how to do it, I would be pretty frustrated as well. Former employees we spoke to had a sense that the people in charge were unable to communicate a clear vision for the game they had enthusiastically signed up to make. Or some said when they did manage to communicate that vision, leadership ignored or dismissed feedback from the experienced team they had put together. These repeated struggles over creative vision resulted, sources said, in building after, sorry, sources said, in build after build being thrown out and internal frustration growing with each new reset. So basically, from like what I was reading here was like, they were like every, they get like 3 to 6 months into like, building towards this thing, and then like it wouldn't come together or leadership would change their mind. So like kind of a big thing about the initiative was like they were signing like not just like, like developers, random developers, random IT people, random whatever people. They were like hiring like some of the best talent in gaming to come here and work for them. Like that's why like they were trying to build like an all-star team. Is what they're trying to
Right.
do, and that's why they were calling a quadruple A game. So after several years here, like 3 years of being in development, Microsoft decided not to renew the contract with Certain Affinity. So Certain Affinity, like I said, was supposed to be a support, so they were still technically a support studio on this game, but they had more than half of the developers on the game were Certain Affinity. So that major problem there when you're supposed to be like the support, you're supposed to be a small team helping them. Instead, you are the bulk of them. So after 3 years in development, they just get rid of Certain Affinity and supposed to keep carrying on. Initiative, so as one initiative employee said he blames the bosses for the initiative. He said for the issues with Certain Affinity, said it was a lack of communication and a game of telephone where they're talking about like the only people talking. The only people like they were really talking to was like Certain Affinity, like the people working directly on the game weren't really allowed to talk to the people at the initiative working on the game. So there was like no communication there. It was basically the higher ups from initiative would communicate with Certain Affinity, and like shit would trickle up from there, and then shit would trickle down to them. So it said by the time like it'd go through six, seven people, so you're just playing a game of telephone. The message is completely different. So that's part of the problem. They said 47 employees left in 2021 and 2022, and the studio had dipped into the low 30s at its worst point. And this is kind of what's up here, like, and Initiative was trying to, like, build, like, an all-star team. It said, because Initiative had hired so many industry veterans in a competitive geographic location, many found new roles quickly and easily. Entire departments were hollowed out, and progress on Perfect Dark halted as people waited for key decision-making roles to be filled. It's like, they're, like, it wasn't just, like, people, like, you know, people, like, the main, like, developers working the game. There was, like, directors of whole departments leaving, is what we're talking about here, too. One developer there at the time recalled literally doing almost nothing for 9 months, waiting for positions to be filled and decisions on the key game elements to be made. Sounds depressing as fuck.
Yeah, that does sound depressing as fuck, dude.
Yeah, like some people, like, you hear all, oh, whatever, you don't want to hear you, bitch. Like, you didn't do anything for 9 months. Like, let me tell you, these are creative people. Like, this isn't just like us going to our job and just like, hey, just go sit in the corner for 8 hours a day. Like, these people, like, this is like the shit they want to do. Like, this is like their dream job.
Exactly.
Jobs. And like their creativity is their job, and that's what they want to do. And just going there and like, not like, you don't know, you don't have a direction. You don't know what you're supposed to be. You don't even know what you're supposed to be doing. Like, that can be very stressful. So pretty fucking wild. So as they said, Crystal Dynamics signed on to be a support studio in 2022. But quickly now they have become the main studio working on the game. So just pretty fucking wild here. This whole thing, like I said, this is just like some snippets I took out of this article here. It is a very big article, but it is well worth a read. I could not stop reading it. I was like, holy shit. Some of the shit that's like some of the quotes out of here and all everything. Like, I mean, it's got me thinking, Gables, like we've been talking about a lot. Like, what is the appropriate amount of time from announcement to release is like the appropriate amount for like a game should have? So I heard
that's a good question.
I heard some people were saying like, oh, like, you know, a few months, you know, like people were like pointing out the Fallout 4 method or, you know, we've talked a lot over the last few years, really kind of like towards the end of like really going into this new generation, where it just felt like a lot of like developers and publishers were just like announcing everything they were working on. Like the moment, like I would talk about, like, it felt like as soon as they walked out of the boardroom to approve this game, they would just announce they're working on it. You look at like CD Projekt Red, which we have a story about them later, literally announced like the next decade of their games. Like they have three Witcher games in plan. They're like remaking the first Witcher game. They have multiplayer games like Cyberpunk stuff they're working on. Look at Ubisoft. Like, there's all these games they've announced years ago that like took years to come out. Or it's like, you look at like the Prince of Persia game, just come out 2 years ago, and they just rebooted development on it a few months ago. Skull and Bones was playable, I believe, at E3 2016 or 17. We don't have a release date for that game yet. You know, you look at Bethesda announced Starfield in 2017 and announced Elder Scrolls 6 that same day, and they haven't even begun development on it. And then last year announced Fallout is the game after Elder Scrolls 6, which they probably won't start getting in full development in until the 2030s or like late 2020s. I've talked about, like, a big part of they do it is A, stock prices, because they want to tell, like, you know, they want to keep stock up, stuff like that. Like, announcing these cool, right, big projects is good way to get an easy quick boost in stock price. It's a good short-term thing to do, and also like they do it for like as advertisement for people to come work for them and also keep talent around. But I don't know, I mean, Gables, like, as a fan taking the business side out of it completely, you know, we are fans here. Sometimes, you know, for me, sometimes it's harder to separate the business side from the fan side sometimes. What would you think is the appropriate amount of time for, you know, a game being revealed to a game being released?
All right. Honestly, the kind of the standard thing that I'm most, I would mostly expect is at least a minimum to about a year after like the release of the initial reveal trailer and stuff. And then like all of a sudden, you know, you have like the release like a year later or something like that. I would expect that at the minimum. I mean, granted, we have been spoiled over the past few years with, like, say, Nintendo, for instance, to self-reveal, like, a game that's most, like, that people have been, like, either waiting for or something like that, and then releasing, like, a couple months later
Yeah.
and stuff. That's something we don't see that often. So, at minimum, I would expect, like, a year from the announcement of a game to its initial gone through a release, if you're going to do it that. Because if you go past, like, a year's threshold and stuff like that, like, say, if it's, like, another 2 to 5 years, no one's going to give a shit until they see more of it, like, in that regard. So that's not in their immediate radar. I'm talking about, like, say, gamers in general. I mean, yeah, sure, they'd be excited of initially and stuff, but honestly, the regular person is not going to really give a shit in terms of, like, waiting that long for, say, like, an initial game's release if it's going to be, like, another 4 or 5 years out.
Yeah. Me personally, I would say like 2 years is probably like the max. Like, obviously delays happen, take your time. So I would say
Yeah.
like if you expect, like say you announce a game today and like you like I would say like I'm totally fine. You get the teaser trailer, maybe, but like, you know, but if it's like, you know, like so like kinda like we had like what's 2021, we had Spider-Man 2 get announced. Then this year, or 2020 late 2020 September 2021. They announce it. We got a little CGI trailer. I'm fine with CGI trailers when it comes to sequels and stuff like that. It don't bother me too much. But then last month, we got the reveal with all the gameplay. Coming October.
Yes.
Perfectly fine with that. You know, sometimes if it goes to three because you have a delay, shit like that, delays happen. Take your time. Obviously, if it goes stretches into three, I'm typically okay with, like, that's fine. Yeah, it's the issue of, like, I talk about, like, all these guys. You look at, like, I've been saying this for a long time now about Xbox. It's like, it feels like they announced their entire generation of games before the generation started.
Yeah,
And
what company does that, you know? I mean, there's so much that can happen,
yeah.
you know?
And it's like we talk about that there's that CGI fatigue, and even like Phil Spencer's talked about it. Like he knows, like he mentioned in that interview he did a couple months ago with the XCast where he's like, you guys, you know, I don't deserve you guys' trust anymore. Like, you know, we've been waiting for years for stuff like this, blah blah, and so many, too many CGI trailers, not enough gameplay, not enough, you know, people playing these games, stuff like that. So yeah, like, I mean, I think that was a major mistake they did, like this generation. Like fuck, we seem like, I mean, but everybody does it. I'm not trying to, like, you know, pick on Xbox for this one. You know, Bethesda did this before Xbox bought them. Like they did all this before that. But you look, fuck, you look at Nintendo. They announced Metroid Prime 4 before they had a team to make the game. And then
That's
they
true.
hired a team to do it. 3 years into it, they took
And
it and then restarted it. And we have literally seen nothing from that game in over 6 years.
Yep.
Last year, it's a third-party thing. It's a little different. PlayStation, they announced the KOTOR remake. And then, like, but they were thinking that the idea they had was that game was going to come out this year or 2024. Kind of find out it's not going to happen. There's a decent chance we may never see that game at all. That game might just never come
That's
out.
true.
Or if it does come out, it's going to be y years away. Or like look at Last of Us multiplayer game that they revealed that Summer Game Fest. Well, they announced they're making it, but they said they were going to show us more this year. And then we heard about the reports about basically they're like, is that game actually going to happen now? You know, shit like that happens. That's what I'm saying. But we see a game like Scalebound, shit like that. That shit happens. But like, that's exactly what I mean though. Like, I feel like, I mean, I guess like the last thing, like if they felt pretty positive about it, it sounds like a year ago, and then shit hit the fan this spring. But look at, like, you know, like I said, Metroid Prime, stuff like that. It's like, I get, like, but all those happened at the beginning of a generation. You know, you
Right.
look at Ubisoft, Beyond Good and Evil 2. Like, they were doing all this to fight off that Vivendi takeover. So, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I get why they do it. But I think, like I said, 2 years, I understand, understandable. I think that's like should be like realistic max three if you have to delay it, you know, like that happens. But also, I mean, we've seen sometimes where even like a Deathloop was announced 2 years before it came out, and by the time that game came out, we've seen it so many times we were sick of seeing it. Ended up being one of the best games in 2021, I thought, but I think everybody was so tired of it, like we were just like I didn't want to play it at launch when it came out, but I don't know. Very interesting. I hope they can figure it out, but it's just it's very frustrating. But Gables, let's get into one of my favorite things of the month, and that is,
NP.
well, Gables is the Circanus. Circanus? I still don't know what it is. And I don't, it's one of those things that my brain is just going to refuse to learn because goddamn it, to me, it's always going to be the NPDs. But it is the May video game sales numbers. People know like every month we get out the list of the top 20 selling games for the previous month. Some studios don't give out digital sales numbers, which is just annoying. Why would we do that? But I'll talk about the ones that don't have that when we get there. But some interesting tidbits here, Gables. Full game sales were up 58% year over year.
Wow.
Year over year compared to last May. Physical sales were the highest they've been in a May since 2014.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I believe this was the best month, the best May the Switch has ever had. I'm assuming that I'm tackling that to Tears of the Kingdom, which we'll get into a little more here later. The black PlayStation DualSense controller is the most popular accessory of the year so far, but the Tears of the Kingdom Link Amiibo is the best selling accessory in May. So kind of interesting there. Interesting little tidbits there. But Gables, let's get into the top 20 here. Give me a second here to scroll down. Here we go. All right. So number 20, holding a spot. Last month it was also number 20. But there was that big sale in April for for Mario. There was a big like Mario sale in April for some reason, like a bunch of games were like $40.
Yes.
So anyways, but a bunch of, even despite that, Super Mario 3D World holding in at number 20 there. Okay. Number 19, jumping back in from number 30 the previous month, Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga. That, I'm assuming that's because of May the 4th.
And sales.
Yeah, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. It was 18th in April. It's 18th again. Number 17, it dropped one spot. New Super Mario Brothers. Number 16, jumping back into the top 20, God of War Ragnarok. Number 15, Madden NFL 23. Number 14, also jumping back into the top 20 here, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Number 13, jumping back from 828 the previous month, Breath of the Wild. Pretty obvious there why that is. Number 12, Minecraft. It's, you know, it's just like it's like the sun rising and the sun setting. Minecraft is always the top 20 every month, always in the middle of the teens, no matter what. Number 11, Elden Ring. So still holding in. It's always pretty much been hovering around there. Number 10. I always enjoy this when they have the big jump ins. It was number 49 the previous month. Far Cry 6. I guess I looked up why that is. Far Cry 6 came to Steam last month.
Oh, I see.
I'm assuming
it'll jump.
Yeah, I'm assuming it was like a Ubisoft launcher thing. That's probably why. Resident Evil 4 did drop from number 2, but it's still holding in at number 9, so it's still doing pretty well. Number 8, pretty much always in the top 10, Mario Kart 8. Someone pointed this out, Gables, that in May 2014, 9 years ago, a little game on the Wii U came out called Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Debuted at the number 2 spot.
That's true.
Here we are 9 years later, Mario Kart 8 at 8.
Mario Kart 8 has been still inside the top 20 stuff for the past 9 years.
Well, it wasn't in there the whole time. It was when it got re-released in 2017 on the Switch, but it's been there ever since. But it's still pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. I love it. I wish that Take-Two still did the digital sales because they stopped doing that a couple years ago. Because I do wonder if GTA 5 would still be in the top 20 if they did.
I think it would.
Yeah, I imagine so. But number 7 here, FIFA 23. Number 6, MLB The Show 23. Number 5, no surprise, Modern Warfare 2. Number 4, still holding strong in its second month, Dead Island 2.
Wow.
Man, good for them. Yeah, a little golf clap. Golf clap there. That's fucking awesome. Still holding on. I mean, a game that we all thought would be shit coming out and being pretty good. Good for them. You know, a game we saw about Perfect Dark being in development hell. I mean, down too. Anyways, number 3 here, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Number 2, Hogwarts Legacy. I did look that up as well. Hogwarts Legacy last month had the last gen versions come out in May.
Ah, yes.
So they had a big boost there. And number 1, no surprise, Tears of the Kingdom. We do know that that game sold over 10 million units in its first 3 days on the market. Gables, I want to do something a little more interesting here.
Yes.
Because so Zelda was the only new game in May that had that made the list for NPD's last month. The only other notable games that came out in May were Lord of the Ring Golem, only because it's one of the worst review games of all time. It's to the point that the studio just stopped making games now. And then also Redfall came out last month, but obviously did not make the sales numbers there. But let's get into the top 20 selling games of this year so far. You know, I'm not going to do the whole list. I just noticed that I didn't see this before. Forspoken, number 19. That's pretty crazy. I'm going to scroll up here, Gables. Let's look at number two. Look at that right there.
What? Already?
Only including physical sales. Does not include digital sales, Gables.
So it's physical sales.
What game are we talking about? Tears of the Kingdom is already in its first month on the market the second best-selling game of the year. Already outselling Call of Duty. Obviously, Call of Duty comes out late October.
Right.
But still, usually Call of Duty is the previous year's Call of Duty is still the highest-selling game of the year all the way up until the new Call of Duty comes out.
This is crazy.
Yeah, Hogwarts Legacy is the best-selling game of the year so far. But, like I said, this game does not include digital sales. So, I wish we got sales numbers. I hope we get some sales numbers here soon. I guess we will, because the fiscal quarter is actually over now. It's July 1st. So we should be getting in a few weeks. We should get the quarterly updates from Nintendo. So I can't wait to see those fucking sales numbers. That's got to mean, like, I think Hogwarts Legacy was like they announced a couple months ago. I think it was like already sold like 12 million in the first like 2 months it was out. So that means Tears of the Kingdom probably got to be high teens somewhere at this point. So pretty fucking crazy there, Gables. Always love little tidbits like that. But, I mean, anything you want to add on the any of this?
To be perfectly honest with you, I don't have too much more. I mean, it's not surprising that Tears of the Kingdom is going to be doing that well and stuff. But seeing how it's already getting close to the top, like number one in terms of like physical game sales for the entire year, and it barely was even out for a month. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, what came out May 12th? So yeah, it's on 3 weeks in the market. It's always cool. Like the rest of this month, pretty chalk. Couple little surprises in there, but I mean, we knew Zelda would be number one, but I don't. I'm blown away by how well it did, how well it's doing. Let's move on, Gables. This is gonna be a shorter one here. Vice President of CD Projekt Red, you know, developers of Witcher 3 and Cyberpunk 2077, said, "This is okay." So I'm just gonna read. He did an interview with Kotaku during Summer Game Fest, and it just came out. The article. A lot of stuff is mostly talking about Phantom Liberty coming out in September. But a couple of interesting quotes about Cyberpunk's launch. He chalked up the game's poor reception at launch to bandwagoning, stating that at some point it became cool to hate the game.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually believe Cyberpunk on launch was way better than it was received. He said, and even the first reviews were positive, which, to be fair, The reason why the reviews were positive is because A, you only gave out PC codes, so you didn't let anybody play the game before launch on consoles, and also you said all the bugs in the game would be fixed at launch. So you lied to the reviewers and then made all the reviewers, all the big websites, all your partners basically look like assholes. And then after the reception came out, then you told everybody to go tell PlayStation, Xbox, to refund you and then put the onus on them. So you basically just fucked everybody over. Fucked over the reviewers, the people that help, you know, that talk about your game and, you know, post articles about your game. And then you fuck over your business partners to the point that PlayStation pulled the game off their storefront for over 6 months And then when the game finally came back on the PlayStation storefront, it said that you should only buy the play the game if you have a PS4 Pro or PS5. So I just want to point that out. Then I said, so they said, oh, we're positive. Then it became a cool thing not to like it. We went from hero to zero real fast. It was a tough moment. We didn't know what was happening. Michael, not my new dog, Michael. Michael, the vice president of CG Product Red. Fuck off. That's all I have to say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, come on. Let's think about it this way. I mean, there's obviously they had to have known the repercussions that were going to be up in front of them when they released the game in the state that it was. And for, what was this, this head president or something like that, CD Projekt Red, vice president, okay, but CD Projekt Red going on record and saying they don't know why the bandwagoning was going on, like it was the cool thing to do like that, and then like early reviews were this shit. Oh, for God's sake, that's awfully two-faced to them, considering that, like you said before, they controlled which outlets got reviews first. They pretty much got hatred because of outright lying to the general consumers and stuff, saying, oh, hey, this is going to be all patched at launch and this and that and stuff. And then they left a broken game out on storefronts and stuff, both physical and digital stuff, until, God, there have been some elements of improvements for the versions, especially after the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and S version, like, released.
Which took 15 months after launch to come out.
It took exactly how long it took after the launch of something that should have been like this from the very start. And even with Phantom Liberty and stuff, this is their last major hurrah that they're doing in September to try to basically almost make it like a brand new game in that regards. I've heard various things about their Phantom Liberty DLC, thinking, you know, from like other outlets that I've been keeping tabs on, watching, like listening to on YouTube and stuff, and it's supposed to be kind of like almost like a brand new type of experience they're trying to delve with their latest update stuff. But then again, this is like 3 years after the game launched that we're getting all of this major things of what the game should have been like and should have been aimed for since its 2020 release.
Yeah. I mean, there was supposed to be a multiplayer mode that came out after release that just never happened.
No,
as well.
It's never happened.
I mentioned, like, yeah, you fuck over the reviewers, so then they look bad. I remember this is like my all-time favorite example of how shitty video game fans can be. And I'm not saying I've never been that person either. Like, we've all had shitty moments. But I remember it was so, like, when the reviews came out, people were so mad. Before the game was released, the reviews were shocking. Not, like, awful, but they were pretty, like, there were a lot of eights in there that we were not expecting. I think a lot of us were thinking this would be, like, one of the highest-rated games of the year, one of the highest-rated games of all time. And it was, like, a lot of eights, a lot of 3 out of 5s, to the point where, like, you know, reviewers were being harassed for giving so bad scores. Scores, giving it 8s and 7s and 3s out of 5s.
They were generous.
Yeah. And then when the game came out, the same people that were harassing them for giving them too low of a score were then harassing them for giving them too high of a score. Because they were lied to about the codes. And obviously, like, I've talked to people that, like, played the game at launch, had no issues. I remember talking to a guy at work. He's like, he was playing the game. I told him, like, I bought it digitally at launch. I was super pumped for this game. Like, Gables, you can see in the background if you're a video listener, Gables has his fucking Keanu Reeves, Johnny statue back there. I have that same statue on my shelf. I have multiple Funko Pops of this game on my shelf. That's how excited we were for this game at launch. I got my refund. I played it for like 4 hours, got so frustrated with the bugs. I got my refund.
And my game is still on my goddamn bookcase. I've only played like maybe about an hour or so at most of this, and I'm just waiting on the Phantom Liberty, not Phantom Liberty, but that DLC to come out in September.
Is it
because
Liberty?
I am.
Am I wrong?
I think it is like Phantom Liberty or something.
I felt good about it, and then now you're doubting it. Now I'm doubting myself. Go on.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, I've waited all this time for them to fix away their patches and stuff, because I've kept the physical copy, and I'm glad I did, because I can actually play the PS5 version of the damn thing with my disc. But It's just the fact of the matter is I shouldn't have had to have waited 3 years for like the definitive experience for Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
A game that released 3 years ago.
December
but here
2020.
I am waiting for September to get this DLC stuff so that way I can actually officially go and dive into my first real playthrough of this game.
To be fair to them, I would say the one the it, like I cuz I bought the game again. I found it for like $10 or something. When
yeah.
they did the PS5 the next gen updates. And I played it for like 6 hours or so. It's just I thought the game was just fine. It wasn't bad, it was just fine. But it's totally playable now. I would say play it. It's totally fine. I just did not. It just feels like a GTA clone to me. It was my the game overall. Finally,
right.
When it was all said and done, the game just I didn't think was actually that great. But it's just baffling. And like I mentioned, like you fuck over you know the people that you know IGN's the GameSpots of the world. All the reviewers, stuff like that. So now it's like, well, whenever, like the next time they get a review copy for them and say, hey, we're going to fix all these issues at launch, then we're going to trust you again. Because like, well, fuck you. Last time we saw this, we took shit for it.
Yeah.
You fuck over your business partners. Most importantly, you fuck the fans. But we are all dumb consumers and we will buy the thing. And obviously the game was more popular last year than when they had the anime come out. So it's obviously turned a major corner. People are super pumped. For like Phantom Liberty, stuff like that, I total trust that the game will be fine, and I won't be surprised. I don't think this will happen again from them. I do think they definitely like it's one of those things where it's like sometimes they just get a little you know you hear about this every now and again like developers just get a little too cocky.
Yes.
It's like you know you heard about the same thing with like BioWare ran into when like Dragon Age 2 and what's the Mass Effect Andromeda, where it's like oh we made the Mass Effect trilogy like. You know, it's like, we're good. We'll be fine. And then it just doesn't come together. And then shit happens. And that's kind of what sounds like happened there. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, hey, good for you for turning around. You know, you did, you put, you know, like, you fixed the thing, which is great. But also, that's a minimum that you should have done. But, like, I'll give you the props for turning around. You did a good job. Like, putting out this DLC. It looks like it's going to be great. But fuck off. Moving on here, Gables. Let's get out. Let's get into some other news this week. Some smaller stuff here. A lot of smaller stuff here. Nintendo, Yves Guillemot mentioned in an interview, he's the CEO of Ubisoft, that Nintendo told them to wait till the next console, next Switch came out, or next Nintendo console come out, to release Mario. What was that called? Mario plus Rabbids. What was it? Why am I spacing on the name now? Mario.
The sequel, Sparks of Hope.
Sparks of Hope,
right?
Thank you. I don't know why I totally blanked on that. And they said the game was a disappointment, which sucks. But I, you know, I talked about last year. It was like, I loved Kingdom Battle. I'm not going to harp on this too long because I talked about it a lot last year. But my biggest problem was like, Kingdom Battle was like the. Rabbids like were invading the Mario world, and this game felt like Mario was invading a generic Ubisoft game world, and it just wasn't as fun. Like the charm of that game was the Rabbids and Mario's, but in a Mario world, and this game was just like, hey, here's an ice planet, here's a fire planet, here's a jungle planet, here's a sand planet, and you're gonna fight the same four enemies over and over again. So yeah, sucks that this is the case. I'm assuming we'll get another one, maybe one day down the line we will. But man, that game could have been so much more. And I hope we do get a third one, and like they learn, like okay, like we have a good game here, we have good mechanics here. Let's just make it, you know, let's just go back to what made Kingdom Battle so good. Next up here, Immortals of Avium. Got delayed to August 22nd. Originally, just come out July 20th, I believe. That's the EA game. It was like you have like the magic, and the game looks great. I think I'm not great. The game looks like it could be really good. I was actually pretty pumped to play this game. But now it's in the issue of like, so part of the reason I was like this is definitely I'm gonna play this game is because it was coming out in July, but July is kind of light. Like, there's some cool, like, indie games, like, X-Primals come out that month, but, like, no big, huge games coming out. I was like, oh, perfect timing, late July, kind of filling the time for a week or two as we get closer to, like, all the big shit, you know, for, like, Madden and stuff, and all the big stuff comes out in August and so on. Now, it's coming out August 22nd, Gables, literally the same week as Madden. And then, yeah. Like, a week and a half before the Starfield early, if you, like, you buy, like, the one edition, you get, like, I think August 31st. So, yeah, it's kind of rougher time to come out. So.
Oh, absolutely, it sounds like.
Yeah. Next up here, though, ID at Xbox will have a show on July 11th. People don't know that's, like, basically like a little event they do where they show off a bunch of indie games coming to Xbox. So I want to point that out. There's sometimes you get some cool little games that come out of that. So something to keep an eye on. Next up, speaking of Xbox here, a lot of little details came out of the FTC trial. We didn't talk about here because, quite frankly, I just don't give a shit. It's pretty boring. A lot of small things came out. We'll talk about some of the stuff that came out of it. But I just don't want to talk about this thing until that we get a goddamn result from what's going on with them. But they did announce that Game Pass. Oh, Gables is walking away here. Okay. But they did announce that Game Pass is going to increase from 15 to Game Pass Ultimate will go up from 15 to 17. If you have the other edition, the one that doesn't give you the Xbox Gold, will go from $10 to $11. So yeah, it's going up $2. It's one of those things where it's like it's $2. You know, it's like I still think at $17 a month, Game Pass Ultimate is still a fantastic deal. Game Pass at $11 a month is still a fantastic deal. You know, I'm saying that every year I buy a year's worth. Because you usually find on Black Friday, you find like a decent deal. I can usually get it for like around $100 for a year. So yeah, at 17, it's like, look, it's $2, but also it's when everything around you is going up a buck or two or three or more. That's where it hurts, where it's like, okay, well, it's like, you know, like I've talked about before, like, you know, it's like you get the email, it's like Hulu's like, all right, well, this is going up a dollar. It's like, it's one of those things where like, that's a dollar, but I'm like, but then it kind of reminds you that you have it, you know, kind of thing. It's like, you know, well, how much Hulu do I watch? You know, it's like, yeah, it's only like $11 a month, but it's like, am I watching enough to make it worth it? And then you cancel it. You know, I'm not, you know, for me, like $17 for Game Pass, I'm still going to pay it. Like I said, I still think it's fucking worth it. If you get that, I've gotten so many games I was going to buy already out of that thing. You know, like these smaller indie games are like $20-$25. Or like sometimes you just discover shit or something. Like I talked about like last month I just played through Outer Worlds on a whim. It's perfect for like just jumping. It's like Netflix or like any other streaming service where like, but for video games where, you know, you're like, oh man, I'm just feeling, I want to play some games, but I have nothing big I want to play right now. And you just fuck around. You find something, you just dig around, you find some cool games out of it. Like, you know, next month, I'm super pumped for X Primal. That's a game I do not want to spend $60 on. It's coming to Game Pass. Perfect. Right. Awesome. Starfield's coming out in September. That's definitely $17 for a Game Pass or pay $70 to buy it. You tell me what's the smarter decision here. Shit like that. So to me, it's still worth it. Obviously it's case by everybody else. Gable's like, you know, how you feeling about the $2 increase?
I'm really not feeling all too like overwhelmed by it or anything else like that. It's because even regardless of it being like $10, $15, or $17 a month or something like that, there is enough content for me personally that I would like to keep on subscribing to it, and that there are still a multitude of games that I want to play on that service. And mostly for the fall stuff that's coming out. I mean, not just for the Microsoft stuff like with Starfield, but also small, like other third-party games like Lies of P is coming on there day one. I want to try that out.
Sea of Stars coming in August as well.
Sea of Stars is also coming out in August. That's a game I've been highly anticipating and stuff like that for the past year and a half because of knowing full well one of the composers that worked on it actually worked on Chrono Trigger. Oh. So it's like a good hodgepodge of stuff. And plus, there's also the various other little games that I've wanted to download and try, like, say, Power Wash Simulator. I've tried that, you know. It's a good ASMR sort of like a feel to where you are working out your different mind frame of, like, doing certain tasks, like monotonous tasks, but it's just examples of being, of like me finding value in terms of paying so much per month with it. And you bring up a good point. It's like you could spend $60, $70 for that one game that you want to get or something like that, or you can pay $17 to quintessentially rent for something like a month or something, and then just download and play the game for as long as you can in regards before the service goes and like takes off the game.
Yeah. Or you can, like, if you don't care about the online part, you can just get their base Game Pass for $11.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, I mean, I'm not defending, like, it's, you know, the increase, like, you know, it sucks. Like I said, like, you know, obviously, like, if you, you know, if you can't afford it, and that sucks, you know, but, like, yeah, like, people like us, you know, it's like, I think a lot of people, every dollar counts, and we're big-time gamers, and I save, you know, I spend $100+ a year on Game Pass, but I save 2-3 times that amount easily on Game Pass every year. As well. So for me, it's somewhat, you know, like I said, it's worth it. And just sometimes it's just like, I don't know. It's like sometimes you have a streaming service and it's like, I'll go like weeks or months without using it, but it's just like nice to have the option to, like, I might want to watch something on this every now and again. And then you, like, you scroll through it, you spend like an hour, and it's like you end up not watching anything. It's like, yeah, like, I don't know. It's like, we're all stupid. We're all dumb consumers. Anyway, sticking with Xbox here for a minute. Indiana Jones is an Xbox exclusive. That's something we learned from the trial. Excuse me. It was initially going to come to everything, but then because Bethesda was working on this, they put the deal together before Xbox bought them. Microsoft bought them, but they went back and redid the deal, and now it's going to be Xbox exclusive and come to Game Pass day one. We did learn some stuff here though. So we talked about this that Microsoft stopped announcing sales numbers for their Xboxes. Years ago, after it basically came clear that PlayStation was just lapping them, we did learn that the Xbox One sold 58 million units. So, not, wow. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like it looks bad in comparison, but it's actually pretty solid, you know, for a console unit. But, you know, the problem is that I can't remember the exact number, but PlayStation's in, like, I believe the 110s. So, I mean, nearly doubling.
So about double.
Yeah, almost doubling them. Actually, I think, yeah, doubling them. And then so far the Xbox Series consoles have sold 21 million, which again, that's pretty good. But PlayStation 5 is in the mid to high 30s. Last week, I think it was like, I can't remember if it was like 35 or 38 million. So yeah. Moving on here though, Black Flag, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag apparently is being, getting a remake. It is in early development and it's not expected to come out for another 2-3 years.
Huh. Well, that makes... Honestly, that's kind of surprising, though. I mean, out of all the Assassin's Creed games, like, Assassin's Creed 4 getting a remake with the game is... Just makes me realize now that it's over 10 years old at this point.
2013. So, no, it's 10 years this year, because it was a...
It's going to be... Yeah, it's going to turn 10 this year and stuff, and they're thinking about doing a remake of it. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know... That's fine.
I guess I would honestly just remake one at this point.
Yeah.
I would love a remake of one at, you know, cause just with, if you took some of the best parts of like the early ones, it just put it in modern day. Like I would totally love that, but that's weird. But Gables. All right. So this game's 2-3 years away. What comes out first? Skull and Bones or Black Flag remake?
Oh my gosh. I think it's going to be Black Flag remake before Skull and Cross. Skull and Bones, dude,
yeah.
Because that game is going to not launch in its entirety for, I think it's going to be like another few years at most.
I feel like at a certain point, there's going to, I guess I shouldn't say that because that game was just come out. I would have bet a lot of money last year that game was going to come out last holiday when it was supposed to, because I'm like, that game was announced like 7 years ago. It's got to come out. And then it was like early this year and then it got delayed again. You know, like, it makes sense it would come out well before it, but I can't argue. Like, the game's been delayed 9 times. Like, I can't argue at all with you on that one. Another remake here, or remaster, rather. Red Dead Redemption remaster coming soon? So it's something we know for a fact that Rockstar was making. They're doing that and along with the GTA trilogy remasters. But then they stopped to kind of go full into GTA 6. But the game was recently rated. Red Dead Redemption was recently rated in South Korea, which South Korea is like, I don't know what the fuck's going on there, but they are the worst at leaking games, and probably they leak more games than Jeff Grubb and Jason Schreier combined. Because every time a game gets leaked, rated from them, it's almost immediately out on the internet. And typically when a game gets rated, it's out within like the next 3 to 6 months. Not always, but typically it's normally the game is pretty close to being done at that point. When that happens, and also the like achievement art, like someone found on the back end on Xbox that the achievement art has been like upgraded. So it's been updated. So like it looks better visually. So don't be surprised if that game gets a remaster, which I mean, it makes sense. Game, you know, it's been, the game came out in 2010. It was one of the games that was part of like got the FPS boost on Xbox, and it was on like you can stream the game on through PlayStation with the cloud thing, but they took those off, I believe, a year or two ago. So wouldn't be shocked there. Last up here, Annapurna had a showcase this week.
Yes.
Which I don't know if you watched the Gables. I did. It's pretty cool stuff here. Like Annapurna does a lot of like they team up with a lot of really good. Indie developers and make some pretty good games. One of the things we revealed though is their first ever in-house game. They're making a Blade Runner 2033. No release date on that. Obviously that's taking place between the first Blade Runner and the second Blade Runner game. It is what was it? Oh, it's being led by people that helped work on Solar Ash and What Remains of Edith Finch. So yeah, I have no idea what type of game it's going to be, but I mean, it's pretty, for their first project, that's pretty crazy that they're doing that. Cocoon is getting release date, is coming out September 29th. It's coming to everything, but it's also coming to Game Pass. Cocoon is that like game, like you like almost like a bug thing flying around, but it's being made by people that helped like some main people that worked on Limbo and Inside. That was revealed at the Xbox showcase last year. So finally a release date on that one. That game looks pretty cool. Stray is coming to Xbox August 10th. So I mean that game, I thought I said, oh, okay, it's not coming to Game Pass, but Gables and I both really liked that game. I think that made your top 10 list actually last year, I believe.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun game. Mm-hmm. All things considered, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I really liked the game too. But yeah, it's coming to Xbox finally. But yeah, that's definitely a game you shouldn't miss. Thirsty Suitors looks like a pretty cool little game that's coming out November 2nd. It's also coming to Game Pass. It's like a game, like it's like turn-based combat / skateboarding / cooking / dating sim game where you have to like fight your exes. I don't know, Gables. There's a lot going on, but I love the art style. The game looks really cool. Thirsty Suitors, look it up. Watch a trailer on that game. That game looks like it could be a good time. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. We got a new trailer for this one. This game was revealed, I believe, last year at the Annapurna Showcase. This is the, Sayonara Wild Hearts, people. It is like a puzzle-based game. There's actually a puzzle in the trailer. It's a very weird trailer. Not real gameplay. But there's a puzzle in the trailer that people actually figured out the puzzle and solved it. And it says, the puzzle says, release date will be revealed soon, which I thought was pretty cool. A Lush Foil Photography Sim was revealed. This is it's exactly what it sounds like. You just go around, you're taking pictures of art, the areas you go around. But the selling point of this game is like some of these games you just gotta like look at to like get it, you know, the vibe of this. But I didn't realize I was watching gameplay when I thought it was just like real people walking around. Environments, and no, this is actually in-game footage. The game looks amazing, but there's also, they said there's gonna be secrets and hidden objects you can find while doing this, but yeah, the game looks really cool. No release date on that or anything, but looks like it could be a fun little game here. The best game I think shown off at this whole event from the Katamari people, which if people don't know, Katamari is one of my least favorite things ever invented in this world. I cannot stand that game. I hate the fucking music. I hate looking at it. I hate everything about it. But anyways, They made a game called To a T, which you play as a kid who is in T position, which people don't know. Like with your arms to your sides, people don't know like that when like people do motion capture in video games, when they start like a scene or anything like that, they start in a T position. And so it's a kid stuck in the T position. I have no idea what I'm doing. It's a third person adventure adventure game, or third 3D adventure game. But he has a little dog. It's like a Bugsnax type thing where like they just have this really awesome song along with the trailer. I should have shown it before we started this cable because I love this trailer. It is fucking hilarious. The game looks fantastic. It's also coming to Game Pass. There's no release date. I think this is 2024. But I hope it is like January 1st, 2024. Because this game looks like it's just going to be a good fucking time. But I will, after the show, Gables, remind me, I will show you the trailer. But all right. Everybody else, look up the trailer. To a T. T-O space A space capital T. Flock is another game they revealed. It's like a kind of looks like flower vibes, but you're like a person riding birds around. You just like get more people to follow you around. Looks like a cool like vibes game. And there's like they said there's gonna be co-op as well. Ghost Bike is like it looks like a Tour de France game, but you're like dead or something. Like you're in the afterlife, but you're like riding a bike. I don't know. Like some of these games just sound lame as fuck. I know, but just watch trailers. Because they give off some cool vibes, and the game looks fun as hell. Like, you're riding a bike in the afterlife. The game looks great. I can't wait to play it. Come on, 2024. Mundane is a game. Actually, I didn't realize the game is already out. This is a horror game, but it's actually out now on PS5 and the Xbox. It's got an next-gen update. It's got 4K 60. But it is a horror game completely made in pencil.
Ah.
So it looks really great. Kind of like an Outlast style game, but all made in pencil. The game looks pretty cool, but it's now out on next gen consoles. Storyteller is coming to Netflix, and they said that the new content coming as well. But yeah, there's a couple other like cool dev diaries in there as well. Like, I think they would do like cool, like 2-3 minute dev diaries about games, like next games that are like, they're a little ways out. They just kind of like talk to the developers, stuff like that. One of the games they talked about is a game called We Kill Monsters. I just want to spend a second on this one. That's this guy. We didn't really see a lot of gameplay on it, but he spent 5 years working on this game. It was a Monster Hunter style game, but it was like 2D. And then he was thinking about, well, maybe we should make it 3D. And he spent like a couple weeks like working on a 3D version. He's like trying to decide. He's like, do I stick with 2D or do I go switch to 3D? And he finally decided to switch 3D, but he's like, I didn't want to like change my mind 3 months later and go back 2D. That he, after 5 years of development on the 2D version, he completely deleted it and started over on scratch for 3D.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So pretty crazy. But anyways, it's a really good showcase. It's only like 30 minutes. Really recommend you guys check it out. There's some cool trailers in that thing. Really great vibes. Annapurna just puts out good games. But Gables, what's up with what we're playing? Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You know what? You can go first.
Okay. Like I said, I haven't had a lot of time to play games. I've only been able to play for a handful of hours. Played some more Final Fantasy 16. I think I'm like 10, 12 hours in now. This game continues to be phenomenal. This game's gonna take me a while probably to beat, just because it's hard to find time to play games right now, which sucks because this is like one of those games that's like it's like wine where it kind of is. I'll land the plane maybe eventually on this analogy I'm gonna do here. I might crash a plane, I don't know yet, figure out how it goes. I'm thinking on the fly. But it's one of those things where it's like the more you play it, the more you know, it's like wine. The more you like, it ages better. The more you like, the more time you sink into it, the better it's getting. But also, like in a gameplay session, the more you get into it, the better it is. Like the game, it just continues to one up itself. The game looks gorgeous. The story I think is awesome, but it's not a game. Much like wine, you kind of gotta drink the whole bottle that night. Can't, or like maybe the next day. Can't let it, like once you open it, it goes bad real fast. Not to say this game goes bad, but you can't really play this game in like 30-40 minute chunks. You kind of got like, It's like I got a few hours here. I'm gonna invest the next few hours in this game because like that's what I feel like this game is best played in is like big chunks. Because like you play 45 minutes to an hour, you're not getting a lot done, but also it's like there is so much story, so many cutscenes in this game that it's just like I didn't play it since Monday until this afternoon. I finally sat down and played for like 2-3 more hours, and I was like, it took me like a good like 15 minutes of like thinking about it, watching cutscenes to finally remember what was happening. It's like, what the fuck? Like, because it just throws a lot at you. It's very much like Game of Thrones in a way.
Yeah.
Where like sometimes like the season ends and you go a whole year and you start the new season. Like, who the fuck? What's this guy's name? Like, there's just so much going on in this world. There's so many characters. There's so many different storylines. So many different things. Little things going on. Like, wait, okay, who is this person? Okay, why is this person hate this person? What the fuck happened last year? You know, it's kind of. But it's only been 4 days, like 5 days. And I'm like, okay, wait, what's going on? Why are we doing this thing? Because like I stopped like in the middle, like right in the middle of a main quest. But I've been doing all the side quests. I've been going around doing all the like the fighting. Like I've been like knocking on entire areas, doing all the side quests. I find them. I'm having a great time with this game. But it's definitely one of those games. I just wish I had like 3 days where everybody just fuck off and left me fuck off. Is that? Yeah. Fucked off. Fuck off. No, I'm going to use it. It's fine. You know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm sleep deprived and I've been drinking. So fuck off. It's totally fine for me to say at this point. But everybody just fucked off for like 3 days and left me alone. So like, just let me dive into this fucking game. And like, it'd be perfect right now to do, just fortunately haven't had that chance to do that, but I'm not going to play. I'm gonna play more of that. But the reason I haven't played as much this game as I want to is because I keep going back to AEW Fight Forever. So people don't know, AEW, it's a wrestling promotion. It's the second biggest one in the world. Obviously WWE is much bigger. But they announced this game a few years ago. And they kind of like the whole point of this is like, they want to make that like jump in. You can pick up the controls and you can learn it in just a few minutes. Style like WWF No Mercy, WWF like SmackDown, those like WCW games back in like the late 90s on 64 and like the SmackDown games like on the PlayStation and shit like that. Like they're trying to recreate that with AEW. And the reviews, I can't argue honestly with a lot of the opinions on them, but I'm shocked about like the score that they've been getting. Like I think it's like a 66, I think, on like Open Critic right now. But like it's funny because like I listen to people and I've been reading reviews of people that like kind of have a nostalgia. It's one of those things where it's definitely nostalgia is a factor in this thing. Like if you're somebody that's like, you know, just some of that, like you are going in, you want like the best of the best, you want the best graphics, you want the best smoothest gameplay. This is not that. This no. is not that thing you want. If you are somebody that like me and like Gables and like a lot of people that like even like non wrestling fans, like I remember like my best friend Justin who like grew up hated wrestling. Love playing WWF No Mercy with us back in the day on 64. Kind of like that. Like, and I'm someone that like ever since WWE went to like 2K, started doing like these annual releases and kind of went more simulation style. I've always just kind of those games kind of boring. Like they are more, like I said, more simulation based where it's like, it's going to take you a lot of time to like kind of learn everything. It's a lot slower. It's a lot more, like I said, it's a lot more realistic and like, you know, the matches take a little bit longer. Like once you get past like the showcase stuff, like some of the story stuff they do is pretty cool, but I just don't like after like an hour or two, I'm just kind of done playing the game. You know, it's like, they've had some cool modes, like the Taker Streak stuff. Like I thought the Rey Mysterio thing last year was kind of cool, but I just don't find playing the game is very fun. And this is like exactly what I've been wanting from wrestling games a very long time, where it is arcadey. You pick it up, like I played like two matches and I pretty much learned all the controls. You know, it's punch, kicks, grapple. You know, you hit left trigger with grapple to do this move, right, you know, whatever. It's very simple to learn. Like anybody can learn it in just a few. You don't have to be a wrestling fan to get into them. I feel like the WWE games, like it's kind of like Madden in a way. Like you gotta be a fan of football, but also you gotta be a fan of like those games to really get into them. You know, it's like, and you were like NFL Street or NBA, you know, the NBA Street, stuff like that. Like I was like, you know, people that didn't even watch basketball can just jump into a play, kind of like that. And like it sucks me in. I just love playing this game. It is just so much fun. The matches only take a few minutes to do. The Road to Elite stuff is pretty cool. We're like, I don't know how long it is yet. I'm like, it's broken up into four blocks. AEW has four pay-per-views a year. Well, now five, but there's mainly the four main ones. But like they're each separated, and like all four of them so far, what seems like I'm in block two, like have like a storyline leading to a match at a pay-per-view. Like the first one is like you start a tag team with somebody, which sounds like it's kind of random who you tag team with. Like, mine, like I started a tag team with Christian Cage, and it leads to like, you know, you going into like having a tag team title match. The next one is like, and it's like, it takes like, some of it takes like story stuff that happened, in AEW, like where, it's cool. Like in the Road to Elite, it'll actually show like real life, like videos of like, so like the game, like Road to Elite starts with like, they had a press conference in January 2019, announcing AEW. The show started in October, but like you starts with you being at the press conference, your character, you can create your own character or you can use an existing character. Starts with that. And then like, I started like a tag team with Christian Cage and I was going into like trying to capture the tag titles. And it's great, 'cause like whether you win or lose, the story progresses. And then like the next one is like, it's the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle, which is like a really great storyline that happened at one point. And one of the cool storylines is like, you actually, it's like, it deals with CM Punk debuting on Rampage. You actually get to see like, not the whole thing, but like a good 5 minutes of CM Punk, his return to wrestling, and like his promo at that, for that Rampage. And then you also, but like in this game, like you wrestle him, and like I beat him in this, but like I'm having a great time with it. You can like, you earn skill points and cash. You can buy new entrances, you can buy new moves, or you can like, you increase like your ability points, stuff like that. You can unlock new abilities and stuff in the game as well. The game, it is exactly what I want. I don't like, I imagine that Road to Elite thing is probably only, it's probably only going to be like four or five hours, which is exactly what it should be. But I'm having a good time with it. I do understand the complaints of the game. I do agree with, like, I can understand that, like, to me, like I paid $60 for it. I bought the, I had a discount where I got the, like the Elite Edition that comes with all the DLC for the first season. And I'm totally happy with it, but I can understand where like some of the issues is the game feels dated because this game was supposed to come out last summer. And then it's just a bunch of issues of like copyright issues, internal delays, stuff like that. But it's just been like, just feels like this game just had a bunch of issues trying to get out. Issues with trying to get a teen rating instead of a mature rating. But like obviously this game feels kind of dated. Like a lot of pretty popular characters are not in this game at launch. Like the Acclaim isn't there. Swerve Strickland. There's some other people in the game that just aren't there that should be there. But I mean, like most of the top people, like Chris Jericho's there, Bryan Danielson's there, Cody Rhodes, who has been in the company in over a year, is in there as well, which is pretty funny. There's some matches maybe that could be in there that aren't in there. Like I wish that were like Blood and Guts, Stadium Stampede, which we know Stadium Stampede's coming later. But I wish that was kind of there at launch, because I think there's all the matches you want. There's like the triple threats, there's single, tag team, triple threat, fatal four ways, casino battle royale. There's the explosion barbed wire death match is in there, which is great. It was actually, I don't know how you do it, but there is a way where you could get like, so in real life, like basically what happens is like, there's a countdown, and everybody's fighting. There's a countdown, and then the ring explodes. Like supposed to be C4 around the ring, and everything's supposed to explode. There's obviously not real C4, but there are real explosions, but it's mostly like fireworks and hoopla, this kind of stuff. It's all like dramatic cinematic effect. But in real life, when they did it at a pay-per-view a couple years ago, like everything fucked up and only like some like sprinkler shit went off and like nothing exploded. So it looked really bad and it was like a big botch. There is a way in the game to actually do that. I don't know how you do it, but there's a way for it to happen. the game just feels dated in a lot of ways just because of the roster, and it's not, there's like 60 characters, I think, but the women's side is pretty lacking. There's only like, I think, a dozen or 15 women in the game. And like, you know, Soraya isn't there. Athena isn't there. You know, just, there's a lot of women characters that aren't in the game. Tony Storm isn't in it. Stuff like that. Like, just a lot of top women characters that should be in the game. Because, like, you can do a Road to the Elite on the women's side. You know, it's hard to do a Road to Elite. We got to do a bunch of matches without a lot of female characters in the game. But, all, you know, men's side, there's just a lot of characters missing as well. So, yeah, like, I think those are the issues. And it's just, like, I think it's one of those things where it's, like, after the Road to Elite thing, it's, like, I don't know how much is there to do. So, I will say, like, if this game came out for, like, $30-$40, I would say day one, pick it up. Don't question it. You're having a great time, despite some of the issues that we have. But at 60, it's a little harder to say. It's hard for me to recommend. But I do recommend this game. I'm to me, totally happy with what $60 I spent. I'm gonna have a great time with this. And Gables, I hope, like, when it comes, like, $30, like, this is a game that you and I will love. Like, you love, like, yeah, we talked about this before. Like, you were playing WWF No Mercy, like, just, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, like, playing it. I remember, like, on, like, Extra Life 1 year, you were playing it and shit. Like, you love back to it with like characters from the 90s. Like, I think you'll have a great time with this going to this game.
Oh, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah. So I
feel that too.
Yeah. I hope you buy it, because I can't wait to play with you. I played some online matches as well. It's a good time. I got my ass kicked a lot. But I hope they add some more stuff to the creator character stuff, because, there's not a lot of options to make your character look different. Like, there's only like a handful, so it's kind of hard to make, you know, I don't need like totally in depth like WWE does or anything like that, but like, give me some more options there. And I wish they would like rename some of the moves, like not the moves, but like the entrances and stuff like that. Cause like, it's like generic male 19, generic male 20, shit like that, which kind of sucks. I do want to point out one funny thing that happened though. For wrestling fans, I was in a tag team match with, Chris Jericho was on my team. And I was facing Paul White, formerly known as Big Show, and Sting. And at one point, Gables, they did a tag team move, a 2-on-1 move on me, where they did a double backbreaker on me.
What?
Yeah, which maybe didn't sound like anything to you guys, but to me was fucking hilarious to see Sting, who's 64 years old, who couldn't do that 30 years ago, let alone do that now. And Big Show, who is like 7'4", who couldn't do that 20 years ago, definitely can't do that now. Like, just do this like double backbreaker on me, which was just fucking hilarious. I don't know why I completely lost my shit. But I love some of the creator stuff. Like, some of them, like, I like the entrances you do, but it just sucks when they're all like generic male, generic male, generic male. But, like, right, there's like funny ones. Like, they're 100% just ripping off WWE entrances. Like, they have like the old Roman Reigns entrance, the Demon Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura's in there. Like, a lot of funny shit like that. But I'm having a great time with it. Like I said, it is exactly what I wanted. You know, I don't think it's like, I'm going to beat the Road to Elite thing. I might do it again, stuff like that. But it'll be a game I go back to randomly. It's going to be like a game that's always installed on my hard drive. And like, I'm going to go and play for 15, 20, 30 minutes, you know, like, kind of fun for that. But it's not a game I feel like I'm going to, I mean, they did say they're going to support it long-term, so that's great, but it's not like a game that's going to be playing every day 2 months from now. But, yeah, like I said, Gables, when you get this game, I think you're going to love it, and I can't wait to play. I hope, like, maybe we can do, like, some Extra Life shit for it. But
yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, well, that is pretty much all I've been playing. Gables, what about you?
All right, so I've been playing little odds and ends and stuff. I also did pick up Final Fantasy 16, but I've only been able to invest maybe about a half hour to 40 minutes at most. I will say the game looks absolutely phenomenal, even in performance mode. There's a lot of things happening in that opening cinematic, and also in terms of that first like 20, 30 minutes or something like that, where you're doing like a bunch of flashback stuff, it seems. But just so many different types of things that are going on right now. Currently, the start off the story stuff, and also in terms of the combat itself, feels smooth. It's really straightforward to get into and stuff, especially with your attacks and stuff, your dodging, your this and that and stuff like that. Just really simple to kind of understand, but just need to practice a lot of. But I've just been playing a little bit of that, played a little bit of random stuff on the Switch's online service and stuff like that. Like I played a little bit of like Super Mario Advance and stuff. Like I got like at least a couple levels done inside that. Just completed some of the red like coins and stuff that you gotta go through and do. I think at this moment in time I've gotten two worlds is completely finished in regards to all the red coins and stuff. And I think I need like maybe one or two more levels in the third world in order to try to complete that and stuff. My overall goal with that is just to chip away at it one thing at a time, play a couple of the Mario 2 like sections and stuff, see if I can find all the red coins and stuff like that. Because it's only like about seven worlds or something like that, and even the seventh world is like about two levels at in all with it. So it's I'm like over kind of like halfway done with that game in terms of that game stuff. Then, just for little kicks and giggles and stuff, I played a little bit of Castlevania Symphony of the Night, like a little bit last night and stuff, because it's a feel-good game for me because it's something familiar, but also got me really to thinking. It's like, okay, what am I gonna do? It's like, let's try to do something a little bit different with this playthrough, And while I was just playing through some bit of it, I'm thinking, you know what? I've always used like weapons inside of this game and stuff. Why don't I just use my fists? And so basically, I went through the first three bosses where I just used my fists, and that was actually pretty fun to do that, especially with the doppelganger boss number two, because it's like all I did was like I ended up before then going to this one hidden spot inside this whole cat this whole like Castle Keep sort of like exploration like level, right? To where I go into this room, right? I break away a wall, and so if you wait for about 20 seconds or so like that, and then you press down, it gets a hidden little platform down to the bottom portion of this. It just basically transforms you into a secret room. And there you can pick up a couple things like the mirror like armor or something like that, like a mirror circus or something like that, Circress. And then like a jewel knuckle, which technically it's not like a sword or any type of axe or something like that, but it's just like brass knucks, really. So since I'm doing like things like, well, since I'm generally just battling with my hands anyway or something like that, I just equip that one on there, plus the thing to resist the freaking Medusa heads that'll turn you to stone or something if they hit you and stuff. But yeah, let's just say that it made the second boss battle extremely easy because all I had to do was just evade a bunch of the different like animal attacks that he has, like with the transformation of the wolf and the transformation of the bat and stuff. But jump, then punch a couple, and then he just flies back for a kickback. Jump, punch, and all of a sudden I just kill the doppelganger like in the less than a minute. It was pretty funny. It was actually pretty funny because that boss battle generally, traditionally, can be hard, especially if you're just using regular weapons and like try to do things without having to exploit like a stopwatch or this or that, But other than that, though, yeah, it's just be just screwing around into like Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Like I redownloaded the PS4 like game, the collaboration with that, and like Rondo of Blood. I just downloaded it randomly because I felt like I wanted to
Oh,
play a little
the
bit of Symphony of the
collection?
Night. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that collection that's generally like $20, but it's sometimes it's on sale for about 10 or something like that. They're both fantastic games, but yeah, man, it was just funny just going through beating bosses. I think the first bosses you go into, like a Slogger and Gibbon, the minions of the Grim Reaper. What's hilarious is I basically killed these things without like with like I think I had like about 30 or like 20 HP left. And the first thing I did, I fought the flying boss, right, to where I punched it, and like it got into its second form, and it stayed close to the ground, and I was able to just spam the punch button while crouch and stuff, and killed the thing to level up. And then with the one that's wielding a spear and stuff, I just did like a couple of cautionary like jump punches, and then like just go and like dash back and stuff, so that way I could avoid the spear and this and that. But that was also kind of trivial, as was the third boss, the Hippogriff, which that one's easy in general. All you have to do is just really spam like the daggers or something like that, or like holy water or something, and you'll just get locked in place. But it's the same concept, but not using any type of sub weapons. Just use my fists just to go and just punch randomly. It's so fucking hilarious because it's like literally boss battles becomes trivial if you can abuse the whole aspect of the melee. your fist stuff, because you're punching so fast that it will actually start to eclipse some of the weapon, like regular weapons inside of that beginning portion of the game. But yeah, that's what I've been playing this past week.
Are you too ashamed to talk about how you bought everybody's 1-2 Switch?
I forgot the damn thing came out
I did
yesterday.
too, Gables, and then I saw people streaming it, and I was like, I watched some gameplay of people playing it. Wow, that game looks terrible. That game looks so bad.
Yeah, I know, man. I mean, that's really telling that both of us who just learned the aspect of that game's release not too long ago from Nintendo directly, completely spaced that the game actually launched yesterday.
Yeah, weird time. But yeah, I think that's gonna wrap it up for this week, guys. Thank you so much for watching and listening, whatever you're doing. Remember, don't be an asshole. Like, follow, subscribe. Our Gables, much like in Castlevania, he will fist you to death. So keep that in mind. If you don't like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, five-star reviews, all that fun stuff. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. He will fist you with his fist to death. I was Travis, that was Tyler.
And I've been Colonel Gables. Until next time, everyone, play some fun games, and thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds Podcast.
Bye, guys.
Oh, see ya.